Hare Krishna. Thank you all for coming. While the verse is being written, I thought I'll just do a little introduction to today. It's a very special day. It is the festival of Diwali. Hari Bol, Shri Ramchandra Bhagavan ki Jai, Shri Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman ki Jai. So it's a very special day for everybody, and it's a festival. Although it looks the same, it's a shame that more people can't come in because of the coronavirus, but it is a festival. And you might be thinking, why is this guy giving class on a festival day? Why not one of the big boys? Well, because I was told there's no one available, so can you give? So it's not anything special, it's just no one was around. Or those who were around just recently gave, so hence here I am to share with you a few things on Diwali, and let's see what we can do. So first of all, it's very important that everybody establishes a relationship with the Lord in one way or another. And different people have different sort of, what do you call, inclinations. Like we see in the story of Chaitanya Charitamrita, that Mukunda, who is it? I forget, who's attracted to Hanuman? Murari Gupta, that's it, not Mukunda. Murari Gupta, even though he was under the shelter of Lord Chaitanya, he was still attracted to Lord Ram. And even though Lord Gauranga told him, you should chant the names of Krishna, but he couldn't do it. So his natural inclination was towards Lord Ram because he was Hanuman in his past life. That's what Lord Chaitanya said. So sometimes we see that people go against their, what do you call, the place they're in, the instruction they're given, because their natural inclination for attraction for the Lord is so strong that they can't give it up. And that's okay, because everybody has a natural inclination and they prefer certain forms of the Lord over others. Like if you go to South India, in Sri Vaishnavism, everything is about Lord Ram. For them, Lord Ram is the center of the universe. The books they study are the Ramayana and the Vishnu Puran. Bhagavad Puran, okay, it's nice. You know, there's a few things about Krishna there, but we're into Lord Ram. So for them, Lord Ram is the topmost. And Vishnu, and all incarnations of Vishnu. So Krishna as well, they like. So just like that, in different places, different devotees have different inclinations. For Gaudiya Vaishnavas, of course, it's Krishna, and establishing a relationship with Krishna. And that's why Diwali is not so much of a prominent festival among Gaudiya Vaishnavas. But nonetheless, it is still an incarnation of Krishna, Lord Ram, and many others, as we shall see in today's class. But it is said that a devotee is like a thirsty pilgrim. Okay, when a person is on a journey, and on a long journey, and water runs out. Has that happened to any of you sometimes? When you're in Vrindavan Parikrama, or even when you're on the motorway, and you're really thirsty, and you really, really want water. So a devotee is like that. He's a thirsty pilgrim waiting for the association of the Lord. So in Sri Vaishnavism, there is a story, there's a nice analogy that's given, that it says that the Lord is in Vaikuntha, okay? Lord Vishnu is staying in Vaikuntha, but for the thirsty pilgrim, Vaikuntha is like a big ocean, like there's so much mercy there. But the ocean is far away. How do you get to the ocean when you're thirsty, okay? So it's very difficult. But then it says, okay, but sometimes it is said that for the thirsty pilgrim, Vishnu appears in the form of his different incarnations. Okay, like he comes as Narsingha, who else? Varaha, Vamanadev, Matsya, so many different incarnations. But it said these incarnations are like a flash flood. So flood comes and there's so much mercy, there's so much water everywhere, and it like inundates everything, but then it's gone. So it comes and goes. You may not be around when the flood's there. Okay, so then what? So then it is said that for the thirsty pilgrim, the Lord is like a deep well. Okay, so well may be just in your courtyard. Okay, but you know, how do you get to the bottom and get the water? So it said the form of Krishna as a super soul is like that. He's very deep. He's there, he's right next to you. Okay, but he's very deep. So how do you access a super soul? So the Lord in Vaikuntha is like a big ocean. The Lord, when He comes as His incarnations, is like a flash flood. When the Lord comes as a super soul, He's like a deep well. So how do you access the Lord? So it is said that in Kali Yuga, the Lord appears as the deity. And the deity is like, well, not in that sense, but like a, you know, source of water in your house, like a tap. You open the tap, the water's there. So the deity is, when the Lord comes in His deity incarnation, is very, very accessible to everybody, like the Lord is here. And one should not think that, oh, this is the deity, that's okay, but the Lord in Vaikuntha is the main thing, the Lord in Goloka is the main thing, or the Lord in the heart. No, they're all different forms of the Lord. And just like whether you have water from a sea, or water, or it may be a bit salty, but for the sake of the analogy, whether you have water from the sea, or from flood, or from a river, or from a well, or from a tap, the mercy is there and it will quench the thirst of the pilgrims. So it is said that the deity form of the Lord is very, very important. And this is Krishna here, who has appeared right here, easily accessible for all of us in His deity form. And we're very lucky because Bhaktivedanta Manor is one of the few temples where, outside of India, where there's Lord Ram. And Lord Ram here has been installed, especially under the instructions of Srila Prabhupada. It didn't happen during his time when he was here, but he wanted Lord Ram installed. So it happened, was it 1983, 81, that Sitaram, Lakshman, Hanuman were established here. So we should be very happy and grateful that the Lord has appeared in this form. As Krishna, if you prefer Krishna, or as Ram, if you prefer Ram, or as Gauranitha, he's here in whichever form you want. So with that, let's start with today's verse, which is here today. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki. In the 18th incarnation, the Lord appeared as King Ram. In order to perform some pleasing work for the demigods, He exhibited superhuman powers by controlling the Indian Ocean and then killing the atheist King Ravana, who was on the other side of the sea. Purport. The personality of Godhead Sri Ram assumed the form of a human being and appeared on the earth for the purpose of doing some pleasing work for the demigods or the administrative personalities to maintain the order of the universe. Sometimes great demons and atheists like Ravana and Hiranyakashipu and many others become very famous due to advancing material civilization by the help of material science and other activities with the spirit of challenging the established order of the Lord. For example, the attempt to fly to other planets by material means is a challenge to the established order. The conditions of each and every planet are different, and different classes of human beings are accommodated there for particular purposes mentioned in the codes of the Lord. But puffed up by tiny success in material advancement, sometimes the godless materialists challenge the existence of God. Ravana was one of them, and he wanted to deport ordinary men to the planet of Indra by material means without consideration of the necessary qualifications. He wanted a staircase to be built up directly reaching the heavenly planets so that people might not be required to undergo the routine of pious work necessary to enter that planet. He also wanted to perform other acts against the established rule of the Lord. He even challenged the authority of Sri Ram, the personality of Godhead, and kidnapped his wife Sita. Of course, Lord Ram came to chastise this atheist, answering the prayer and desire of the demigods. He therefore took up the challenge of Ravana, and the complete activity is a subject matter of Ramayana. Because Lord Ramachandra was a personality of Godhead, he exhibited superhuman activities which no human being, including the materially advanced Ravana, could perform. Lord Ramachandra prepared a royal road on the Indian Ocean with stones that floated on the water. The modern scientists have done research in the area of weightlessness, but it is not possible to bring in weightlessness anywhere and everywhere. But because weightlessness is the creation of the Lord by which He can make the gigantic planets fly and float in the air, He made the stones even within this earth to be weightless and prepared a stone bridge on the sea without any supporting pillar. That is a display of the power of Lord. Om Jnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshuran Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Nama Om Vishnupadaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swamin Iti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. Let's wait for the Lord to appear. In the meantime, he might be a while. No. Shri Shri Radha Gokulananda, Shri Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman, Shri Shri Gaura Nitai Ki Jai. Okay, so first question, Sankirtan Priya Prabhu, what time are we going to? 10 to 9. Okay, good. All right, that leaves the same time as every other day, as usual. Okay, please try and stay awake. It's a special day. We're going to speak about some special things. Taruna Prabhu was giving class yesterday and he was explaining how in this material world everyone is suffering. And I was on the altar mopping and I looked up and I looked at everybody's face and I thought, yeah, it's true, everyone's really suffering. Everybody's face was like... So, Bhagavatam class is a Vaishnava's idea of enjoyment. Even though for everybody else it may be suffering. So, anyway, carrying on. So, as I was speaking before, the Lord appears again and again on this planet. And the reason is explained by Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita. He says, Paritranaya Sadhunam, that's one reason, Paritranaya Sadhunam, to deliver the pious, Vinashaya cha Dushkritam, which means to annihilate the miscreants, Dharma Sansthapanarthaya, number three, to establish religion, Sambhavami, Yuge Yuge. So he's saying, I appear for these three reasons. Now usually when the Lord appears, he kind of ends up doing all three things at the same time. It's like, you know, shoot three birds with one arrow, but we don't shoot birds, so milk three cows in one go or something. So he does different things at the same time, in the same incarnation. But every time he comes, the main reason Krishna comes is because he wants to attract devotees back to the spiritual world to show them that, hang on, you guys are suffering here because it's Kali Yuga. But it doesn't have to be like that. And sometimes we think, well, you know, if I give everything up, what's going to happen? Why am I suffering? No, all Krishna is saying, give up your suffering. A very interesting example Tribhuvanath Prabhu used to give is that people usually say, why is it so difficult to give up material enjoyment? And he used to give the example of a tree, and he said, we're holding on to the tree, and we're saying, tree, let me go, tree, let me go, tree, let me go. But the thing is, you're holding on to the tree. It's not the tree's fault. So the thing is, we're usually holding on to our material suffering and happiness. Materialism has never made anybody happy in the past thousands and millions of years. You can read it throughout the Bhagavatam. You can read it everywhere. You can look at the history of the world. And it's never going to make anybody happy in the future. But Krishna consciousness has always made people happy in the past and always will make everybody happy in the future. So what Krishna is saying is that give up this tree of material attachment you're holding. You're not missing out on anything. The only thing you're missing out on is the suffering. And it's a good thing to miss out on. So Krishna is saying, give up these things and come and join me. And that's why to display his pastimes, Krishna comes in many, many different ways. And he displays this in many different ways. He protects everybody in many different ways. In some incarnations, when Krishna comes, his main purpose is to kill the demons. Okay? Can you name any such incarnations where Krishna comes specifically to kill the demons? Narsingadev. Do you know one fact about Narsingadev? I'm sure you know many, but he's the shortest incarnation. He came only for a few hours. Just he came twilight, and within some time he finished his business and he left. All other incarnations stayed around for longer. But Narsingadev is special, okay? He just came to finish some people off. Any other incarnations where he came to destroy the atheists? Varaha? Kalki, yeah, Kalki. He's not come yet, but he came in the past yuga, so yeah. Parshuram, yeah. In one sense, yeah, that is right. He came to destroy different generations of Kshatriyas who were a burden to the earth. So like that. So sometimes he comes just to destroy the atheists. But again, it gives us an opportunity to be attracted to the pastimes of the Lord. So Narsingadev killed Hiranyakashipu many, many thousands, millions of years ago. But we're still talking about him. So that's the main purpose. Then there are Krishna. Krishna comes in different incarnations to establish religion, to establish the principles of dharma, to establish the means of deliverance. So, can you name any such incarnations like that? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Buddha. Yes, Buddha. He didn't really. He did a good job, but he did a good job in a different way by taking away from bad things. Yes. Lord Ram, yeah. Lord Ram is known as the emblem of religion. He's known as Maryada Purushottam, which we're going to look at in a minute, why. And in some incarnations, Krishna comes specifically to attract all the devotees to him. He has no other purpose. Any such incarnations? Krishna. Yes, Krishna comes in his original form. Krishna, Balaram, even as Lord Ram in one sense, he attracts people. So, coming in different ways, he may have different purposes, but he's protecting the devotees in one way or another. Sometimes he's protecting the devotees by killing the atheists, like Hiranyakashipu and, you know, Hiranyaksha and all these other people. Sometimes he's protecting the devotees by establishing religion, because when people follow religion, then they'll be protected and they'll progress on the spiritual path. And sometimes he's protecting the devotees by especially coming to have wonderful pastimes with them and attracting them. So there's different reasons Krishna comes. Now, Chanakya Pandit says in the Niti Shastra, he explains how intelligent men spend their time. And I mentioned this before in one of the classes. He says intelligent people spend their mornings discussing gambling. They spend their afternoon discussing the activities of women. And they spend the evening discussing about the activities of theft. And you may be thinking, why? Unless you heard this already. But the point is, he's saying intelligent men discuss the morning different. Discussing gambling means the activities of Yudhishthira Maharaj, reading about the Mahabharata. Okay, they spend the morning reading Mahabharata. They spend their afternoons discussing the activities of women. Okay, which women are we talking about? Kunti? Gopis? Draupadi, he specifically mentions Sita Devi, because the Sita Devi is all, Sita Devi, the Ramayana is all centered around Sita Devi being abducted by Ravana and then Lord Ram goes to save them. So the idea is they spend the afternoons discussing the Ramayana, the morning discussing the Mahabharata, and evening discussing activities of stealing. Okay, Krishna steals a lot. and that's why Krishna's activity is reading the Bhagavatam. So it's very, very important to discuss these activities. Now, when Krishna comes in a human form, I'm kind of rushing through things. When Krishna comes in a human form, that is very, very special, because there is something amazing that happens when Krishna comes in a human form. Okay? The human form is very special. When Krishna comes in any other form, everybody automatically knows that, yes, this is God. Okay? When Krishna comes as Narsingadev, okay, people know, okay, something different going on here than the usual. Okay, it's pretty clear. When Krishna comes as Varaha, okay, you know he's God. Okay, he's like a big, massive, huge boar. You don't get people like that generally. When Krishna comes as Matsya, as a huge fish that just keeps growing everywhere Manu puts him, okay, he has to be God. Okay, when Krishna comes as Kurma, a massive tortoise to help Mandara mountain, we know he's God. But when Krishna comes as Krishna, nobody knows. Very few people know. Even today, up to this day, people are confused. Okay, so many people want to speak about the Bhagavad Gita. Krishna came and went 5,000 years ago. Still people say, no, he was just a mystic guy. Or he was a good guy who spoke some good philosophy. Or yeah, I mean, we don't really think he's God, but he spoke some nice words, so let's follow it. It refers to Krishna means, you know, the person in the heart, it's you within. All these sorts of nonsense goes on. And Krishna specifically comes as a human form to bewilder the atheists, because he wants the devotees to be attracted, but everybody else will get confused. But in the human form, Krishna is also very, very attractive, as Lord Ram, as Krishna, as Balaram. So all these forms are special. Now, moving on to Diwali. Now, the Kartik month is very, very special, okay? Because a lot of pastimes which are mentioned in the Bhagavatam happen during the Kartik month. And a lot of things happen. Okay? Can someone give me some examples of what pastimes from the Bhagavatam or other places happen during the Kartik month? The Damodar pastime, where Mother Yashoda binds Krishna. Today is the day. On Diwali day is when Mother Yashoda bound Krishna with ropes. So that pastime actually happens today. What other pastimes happen during this month? Krishna lifting Govardhan Hill, yes. So that is tomorrow. Krishna lifting Govardhan Hill, that's another pastime. Any other pastimes? Rasabhas. Rasa dance, yeah. Rasa dance happens in Kartik, definitely. What else? Gopashtami, yeah. Let's think outside the box a little bit. Bhishmadev leaving the body, yes. That happens during Kartik month, last few days of Kartik. What else happens? Bahulashtami happens. Everybody's Krishna devotee. They're all thinking, Krishna, Krishna, I want you to go outside the box. Okay, let me tell you. The churning of the milk ocean, okay, happens during this period as well. Another thing that happens during this time is Bali Maharaj surrendering to Vamanadev. Okay, that also happens during this time. Now you might be thinking, Vamanadev appears in May. We had Vamana Dwadashi in May. So how is he surrendering now? In the Bhagavatam, it's a short... It says, okay, the Lord appeared as Vamanadev and he went to the arena and then Bali Maharaj surrendered. But it doesn't all happen in one day. There's a few things that happen in between as well, Vamanadev, which are not mentioned because the Bhagavatam really discusses just the main things. But yeah, so Bali surrendering, that pastime, Vamanadev taking over the three planetary systems, that all happens during Kartik. What else happens during Kartik? Dhanvantari's appearance, which we're going to talk about, which also happens during this month. Prabhupada disappearance, yes, good. We're really thinking outside the box now. Lord Ram's returning from Lanka after the war. That's Diwali, that's today's day, that happens here. Another important pastime that happens during this time in Krishna's pastimes. Yes, Krishna killing Narakasura and bringing his 16,000 queens. That also happens during this time. And another pastime that happens is Krishna, after that pastime, visits Subhadra. And it's the same day that Yamaraj visits Yamuna Devi also, and that is also celebrated. So Diwali actually in India or in Vedic culture is actually a 5-day festival, not a 1-day festival. So Diwali, the day today, 2 days before and 2 days after is a 5-day festival. It starts with Trayodashi, which is the 13th day, then the 14th day, then the 15th day is Amavasya, which is Diwali, which is today. So it's a dark fortnight. So no moon. Okay, it's a new moon day and it's very dark, which is why when Lord comes, everyone lights lamps to welcome the Lord because it's very dark. And they haven't been lighting lamps because the real lamp of their life, Lord Ram, is missing in the forest. So when he comes, they're all happy. And then day number one and then day number two of the waxing moon. So it's five festivals. So let's look at these five festivals quickly and then I'm sure it'll be 20 minutes, although I have a lot to speak and I can, but I won't be able to. So let's do what we can. So first of all, many, many thousands of years ago, there was a, what do you call, truce between the demigods and the demons, and they decided to work together for everyone's mutual benefit for getting nectar from the milk ocean. Okay? So we know milk is very, very important, and you might be happy to know that there is a milk ocean somewhere. If you have access to it, it's a nice place to live, especially for Paramakaruna Prabhu, he loves milk. It's good to live by the milk ocean and just grab a bottle of milk and just drink. Milk is very nutritious. Prabhupada also said milk nourishes the finer brain tissues. So many amazing things come from milk, like paneer. We love paneer. We're having it every day for the past few months. And I'm sure there's enough paneer to last a few years in the kitchen. So milk is very, very important, milk ocean. But another thing that comes from the churning of milk is nectar. Now, we don't know how. We haven't worked out the science behind how you get nectar. We've got as far as butter and ghee when you churn milk. But there's certain things you can do. You can look it up in the Bhagavatam. They add different herbs. What herbs, I don't know, but they add these different herbs. Maybe Cyrus Prabhu would know. They add herbs to the milk and you churn it and you get nectar. So that's what happens. So the demigods and demons, they're churning and this nectar comes at some point. Okay, and this nectar comes on Trayodashi, the 13th day of Kartik. And it's brought by Dhanvantri, who is also an incarnation of the Lord. Dhanvantri. So Dhanvantri is also known as the founder of Ayurveda. So Ayurveda comes from him. So it's a big day for all the people in the Ayurveda community. They celebrate Dhanvantri Trayodashi. But he brings out the nectar and he's an incarnation of the Lord. Now, which other incarnations are there in this pastime? Mohini, yes. How can we forget Mohini? The most beautiful sort of female form of the Lord. And other incarnations, Kurma comes because he goes and supports Mandara Mountain from the bottom as a tortoise, because the mountain's sinking into the water. So three incarnations, okay? Yes, Lakshmi Devi definitely comes during this period, but she's the energy of the Lord. So Lakshmi Devi also comes from the milk ocean. So wow, so many things can come out of churning milk. Do you know what other things come from the milk ocean? Poison comes, I see, yeah, you got to be careful about the poison. But other good stuff that comes from the milk ocean. The cow, Kamadhenu cow, Surabhi cow. Surabhi is a type of Kamadhenu cow. Cow is like a mother. There's so many amazing things you can get from the cow. A cow is very, very, materially a cow is very beneficial alive than dead. And spiritually, a cow is also best alive because cow is like a mother and you generally don't eat your mother. So it's good to have look after the cow and protect the cow. Once upon a time, Prabhupada asked the devotees, which is the most beautiful animal? And everybody thought, it's got to be the cow. It has to be the cow. And everybody said, cow. And Prabhupada said, no, the most beautiful animal is a horse. And then they said, they were confused. They're like, no, I thought it's all about Krishna, cows, you know. You don't see Krishna on a horse so much. You see him on a cow. Not on a cow, but with the cows. And then, so they say, but Prabhupada, what about a cow? He goes, no, a cow is not an animal. He said, a cow is a mother. So cow is counted amongst the mothers, seven mothers that a person has, not an animal. So mother should be looked after. Other things that come from the churning of the milk ocean, Chandra comes from the milk ocean, the moon. The Parijata tree, which is taken to the heavenly planets and Indra keeps it for his own good. And there's a whole story about it in the Krishna book, which we won't get into. What else comes from the milk ocean? Indra's elephant, Airavat. He's got a lot of tusks and a lot of trunks and all that kind of thing going on. Kamadhenu cow we spoke about. Varuni comes from the milk ocean. Varuni is the nice drink that can make you go a bit tipsy if you have too much, which Balaram loves. Another thing that comes from the milk ocean, Kalpavriksha tree, it is said, also comes from the milk ocean. Of course, all these things are eternal, like Lakshmi is also an eternal consort of the Lord, but we're talking about the pastime. The Apsaras, celestial dancers in the heavenly planets, come from the milk ocean. Uchaishrava, the horse, comes from the milk ocean. Vishnu's conch Panchajanya comes from the milk ocean. The Kaustubha gem that Vishnu wears comes from the milk ocean. There's so many things. So it's a good festival. Okay? Now, let's move on from that festival to our next festival, which comes on the 14th day, okay, which is Naraka Chaturdashi, which is killing of Narakasura. So we don't really celebrate that festival so much, but in South India it's celebrated as a big festival. And I'll tell you why in a second. In South India, it's like with the Sri Vaishnavas, it's a mini Diwali. So it is celebrated as a mini Diwali. They make like an effigy of Narakasura and burn him, and there's fireworks, and then on Diwali again there's fireworks. Any excuse to make fireworks and burn them, have some fireworks and have a festival. So what's the story of Narakasura? So Narakasura had captured 16,000 princesses. There's a lot of princesses, and he had kept them in custody. And I don't know what he was going to do with them, but he had them. And then Krishna come in. In the Bhagavatam, there is a story of how Krishna comes and with his disc, he chops Narakasura's head off. And before that, he even kills Mura, the demon, who is also very demoniac demon. So he kills him as well, and he kills Narakasura, rescues the 16,000 princesses. And they say, oh, where are we going to go for shelter? We don't have anywhere to go. Krishna says, all right, okay, come along, I'll marry you all. So good for Krishna, but men don't get ideas. It's not something that we do. It's something that Krishna can do. He built 16,000 palaces for each one of his princesses, and he kept them in there, as witnessed by Narada Muni. He was there in all palaces at the same time. So if you can do that, go ahead. But otherwise, that's the Krishna thing. Now the interesting thing is, in the Sri Vaishnava tradition and in certain Puranas, it's mentioned that Narakasura was actually killed by not Krishna but Satyabhama. So it is said that when Narakasura was, and it makes sense when you think about it a little bit, because when you read the Krishna book or the Bhagavatam, it says Krishna and Satyabhama went on Garuda to kill Narakasura. Why would you take your wife to battle? Okay, it's like when you go to battle, you don't take your wife with you. There must be a reason Satyabhama went. And she was adamant, she wanted to go. So the story is explained in some of the Puranas that when Narakasura was, you know where he was born from? Narakasura, where he comes from? Varaha. When Varaha was born? When Krishna took the form of Varaha to save the earth, and then he picked the earth up, and then he fought with Hiranyakashipu and Kashipu and killed him. From that union, it is said Narakasura was born. So he is technically son of Varaha and the Mother Earth. So when he performed austerities from Brahma, then he asked for a boon of, like all demons do, immortality. And Brahma said the same thing, that, nah, it's not going to work. So he said, okay, so can I get a boon that I can't be killed by anybody except my mother? So Brahma says, yeah, sure. And then he was happy. He said, yeah, why would my mother kill me? No mother kills the children, so practically I'm immortal. So Satyabhama is said to be an incarnation of Bhumi Devi. And that's why when Krishna went to fight Narakasura, she said, I want to go. And as the story goes in the Vaishnava tradition, is that Krishna in battle was actually injured and he fell down. And now there is a story to this as well. Why did he get injured? Because it wouldn't make sense if he was still there and he tells Satyabhama, all right, you shoot. So there has to be some cover-up story. So Krishna always comes up with good stories. So as the pastime goes, Krishna becomes unconscious, as if. And then Satyabhama becomes very angry, and then she shoots an arrow and kills Narakasura. Okay? So Narakasura dies on this day, killed by Satyabhama. And so it is celebrated as an important festival. Now you might ask the question, why do different stories say different things? Whether Krishna killed Narakasura or Satyabhama killed Narakasura, the good point is, he's dead. That's the main thing. I remember once Jayadvaita Maharaj was here giving class, and somebody from the audience asked the question. They said, you know, in the Narsingadeva pastime, you know, it is said in the Bhagavatam that Hiranyakashipu took over the heavenly planets, and then he was living there, and that's when Narsingadeva appeared and killed him. But when we go to South India, we see that there's a Hobilam, and then they say, here's the pillar where Narsingadev came out of, and this is where he killed Hiranyakashipu. So where did Hiranyakashipu actually die? And Jayadvaita Maharaj's answer was, doesn't matter, he's dead. Because the main thing is he's dead. So anyway, our default answer is that in different yugas, maybe Krishna changes things a little bit to do different things just to have a bit more fun. So that is the story of Narakasura. So it is also a very important festival. Then it's Diwali. Different things happen on Diwali. It is said that, in some places it is said that Lakshmi appears from the milk ocean on the day of Diwali. And Diwali is also the festival when Lord Ram returns after fighting Ravana back to Ayodhya. And Sita also returns with him. So Sita returning, Lakshmi Devi appearing same day, so the lamps represent welcoming Sita Devi and Lakshmi and Lord Ram back into the house, back into their hearts, like that. So the 15th day, it's called Deepavali. Deepa means lamp, Wali means a row, so Deepavali means a row of lamps. And Gujaratis like anything like to shorten it, so it becomes Deepavali becomes Diwali. Okay, cut things off, make it shorter. There's a festival called, before a wedding, you get Mandaparopanam, okay, in Sanskrit. And Gujaratis, they shorten that and it becomes Mandvo. Deepavali becomes Diwali, okay? Another thing that happens, what happens? Dhanvantari Trayodashi becomes Dhanteras. Okay, everything has got short. Okay, so like that, Lord Ram also returns on this day, so it is a very important festival. Now, we're very fortunate to have Lord Ram, like I said, and I just want to speak a little bit of Lord Ram before we hit our target of 10 to 9. Lord Ram is known as Maryada Purushottam. Anyone know what Maryada means? Huh? Religious principles. What is the exact, like, literal meaning of Maryada?
Beholder of virtues.
No, Srinivas Prabhu. Yeah, I mean, that's what Lord Ram does. I'm looking at the meaning of Maryada. The word Maryada itself means boundary. Okay, Maryada means boundary. Okay, so in Dharma, you need boundaries. You can't do whatever you want. That's not Dharma. I feel, I do. That's not Dharma. That's what dogs do. When they see a tree, they want to go and, you know, mark the territory. Or when a dog sees a female dog, they want to go and sniff. So that's what dogs do. That's what animals do. There's not much of a gap between thinking and doing. It's like instantaneous. With humans, human form of life means there should be a 10-second gap between what you think and what you do. And between that, you need to consider your boundaries. That is the difference. It only takes 10 seconds to go from human to animal. Okay? If you think in those 10 seconds, think of religious principles and act in that way, according to the principles established, then you're a human. If without thinking, you feel and you do, then that's almost animal life. So Lord Ram established boundaries, Maryada, and that's why he's called Maryada Purushottam, and he established Dharma. Now sometimes, very interestingly, Dharma is a very interesting concept. Sometimes people say, Lord Ram established Dharma, yeah, he's the, you know, Maryada Purushottam Dharma. But Krishna broke all the rules. And Krishna did whatever he wanted, he didn't really care for Dharma. Actually, that's not true. Every Krishna pastimes also establishes Dharma. Krishna in his whole life, well, everybody's eternal, especially Krishna, but in his whole time of planet Earth, Krishna didn't even do one thing that was against Dharma. Okay? I'll tell you how. Now, Dharma can be of different types. And Lord Ram especially taught the Dharma of relationship between different people on earth. Okay? And how we should live in the society of Vaishnavas. That's the sort of Dharma that Lord Ram taught. And that's why there are very strong boundaries. There are certain things you do, certain things you can't do. The Dharma that Krishna came to establish was the supreme Dharma of relationship between the soul and God. And that eternal Dharma trumps all other Dharmas. So if you see what the gopis do, they give up everything else for the sake of the real dharma, which is pleasing the Lord and establishing that relationship, even whatever Krishna does, okay, everything he does, we're not going to go through each and every pastime because we only got 5 minutes. I have them written down, but we're not going to go through it. But the point is that even Krishna does everything totally dharmically. There's a very interesting story in the Gopala Tapani Upanishad. You know the story? This is when the gopis, once Durvasa Muni is staying on the other side of the Yamuna River. So Durvasa Muni is there doing his austerities and the gopis want to cook something for him. So they cook like a nice feast and they want to go, but they go get to the Yamuna, but the Yamuna is flooded, okay, and they want to cross the Yamuna. So they go to Krishna for help, as usual, and they ask Krishna, "Krishna, can you help us cross the Yamuna?" And Krishna says, "Okay, so what you do is you go to the Yamuna and you pray to Yamuna Devi and tell her that if Krishna has been a brahmachari all his life, then please let us pass." And then they start laughing and, you know, they're like laughing and like rolling on the floor and stuff, you know, and they're like, "Hey, hang on, you can't say that, Krishna, you were like, you know, just last night we were dancing, remember, and you were with all of us, how you're a brahmachari." And he said, "Well, try it." So they go and they pray to Yamuna Devi, Yamuna Devi comes and they say, "Krishna, if he's always been a brahmachari his whole life, then please let us pass." And the waters part. And the gopis are surprised. But they pass through, they couldn't understand. And then they go to the other side, and Durvasa Muni apparently had a vow of fasting, okay, because he was fasting for whatever reason. And they offer him all the food. Anyway, he eats it. So, because, you know, it's offered with love. So he has each and every bit, he finishes everything. And then the gopis are about to go back, but the Yamuna started flowing again. So this time they can't go to Krishna, so they go to Durvasa Muni. And they say, "Please, can you help us?" And Durvasa Muni says, "Yes, you pray to the Yamuna, and when the Yamuna comes, you tell Yamuna, if Durvasa Muni has always been fasting, then please let us pass." They're like, "Okay, this is really like getting confusing now. He just ate like tons of prasadam." Anyway, they pray to Yamuna, and the Yamuna parts, to their surprise, and they go across. So then they go to Krishna and ask the question, "How is this? We don't understand. Can you please explain?" And in the Gopala Tapani Upanishad is explained that Krishna, whatever he does, is for the pleasure of the devotees. Krishna's not lusty. He's not interested in millions and billions of women. Krishna is self-satisfied. All the pastimes he performs are for the pleasure of his devotees. So whether he had women or he didn't have women, it doesn't make any difference to him. So he did it for the pleasure of the Lord, not out of lusty desires like we do. So he's still a brahmachari. And Durvasa Muni accepted everything for the pleasure of the gopis. He was happy fasting. It didn't make any difference to him whether he ate or not. He accepted it because it was a mahaprasadam of the Lord, but for the pleasure of the devotees, for a higher purpose. So, still fasting. So the point is, when you look at dharma, you have to look at two ways. First of all, is it dharma with our relationship with devotees? How do we live our life in a regulated way? What are the boundaries in our relationships? But at the same time, dharma is also our relationship with the Lord, which is our Sanatana Dharma. So Lord Ram also establishes dharma, and Krishna also establishes dharma. It's just they're establishing different dharmas, and so people get confused. Okay, but no one crosses the line. Quickly rushing through, we're not going to talk about the Damodar pastime because you read it every day, but today is the actual day that the Damodar pastime took place. Okay, when Mother Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj, they were actually celebrating Diwali. That's why they were cooking all these different feasts. That's why Mother Yashoda was boiling milk and she was breastfeeding baby Krishna at the same time. But when the milk started to boil, she put Krishna down and ran to save the milk because she was making preparations to offer. It is said, if you go to Vraj, they'll tell you, Lord Nanda Maharaj's Ishtadev was Narsingadev. In Nandagaon, there's a Narsingadev deity that Nanda Maharaj used to worship. So, they were also celebrating Diwali. They put Krishna down. Krishna, very angry, he says, why does she have to neglect me to save the milk? So he becomes angry, and in his anger, what he does is, he goes and smashes the pots of butter. And to add insult to injury, he says, I'm not even going to eat that butter. And he feeds it to the monkeys. So he goes there, breaks all the pots, smashes everything, takes the butter and feeds it to the monkeys and then goes away. So he's expressing, like, you know, when children, when they really sulk, they do strange things. So Krishna's also doing one of those things. But anyway, you know the story. Krishna's bound by ropes, and it's said so many times, so I'm not going to repeat the story again. But that's what happens on this day. And finally, two more days we got. Tomorrow is also a special day. Tomorrow is the day when Bali Maharaj surrenders to Vamanadev. So Bali Maharaj is also a very interesting personality, devotee of the Lord. It is said that he got the mercy of Krishna especially because of Prahlad Maharaj, because he was the grandson of Prahlad Maharaj. And it is said that Bali Maharaj was a devotee, yes, but especially his mercy was because he was a grandson of Prahlad Maharaj. But he's a great devotee in his own right. He made a promise. He also established Dharma. He made a promise to a Brahmana. He said, yes, I will give you three. Can you shut the door, please, because there's a lot of noise. He said, I will give you three steps of land, like I promised. And Shukracharya comes and tells him, no, no, don't. He's Vishnu. You can't do this. And at that point, he knows. He knows that this is Vishnu. I'm stuck. He's going to take everything from me. So imagine that. He knows. But he goes still. I know I'm going to lose everything completely. Vishnu is going to take everything, he knows. But he said, I give my promise, and that's my dharma, so I'm going to do it anyway. So he does, and he surrenders. So it's a very, very important day as well, important festival. So that's tomorrow. But tomorrow is also Govardhan Puja, when Krishna lifts Govardhan Hill to protect the residents. And then on the fifth day of Diwali, which is the day after tomorrow, is when, remember the Narakasur story? So Krishna takes, Krishna visits Subhadra after that, so it's a brother visiting his sister, and Subhadra cooks a nice feast for him, as it is explained in some of the Puranas. And then another thing that also happens on this day is Yamaraj visits Yamuna, and they're both brother and sister. They're both children of the sun god. Yamaraj and Yamuna are brother and sister. So Yamaraj visits Yamuna, and then she cooks a feast for him. So both these things happen on the same day, and Yamaraj gives Yamuna a boon that whichever brother visits his sister on this day and has a nice meal cooked by the sister will never see the abode of Yamaraj. And then that boon is given by Yamuna, and then Yamaraj gives a boon that sister will never become a widow, whoever invites a brother like that. So different pastimes happening over 5 days, all Vaishnava festivals, but like I said, as Vaishnava festivals, we're more interested in whatever Krishna does. So we celebrate the Damodar pastime, we celebrate Kartik, and we celebrate Govardhan Puja, which is tomorrow. Hare Krishna, thank you very much. I almost finished on time. I went 2 minutes over, but that's because I did a longer kirtan to make up for the board that wasn't written. Hare Krishna. Any questions? Should we take questions, Sankirtan Prabhu, or should we go? Okay, Roberto Prabhu, and then we go.
So if we are fasting and somebody offers us something to eat, like if we are also taking it just to satisfy the Vaishnava, is also still, we are still fasting, or?
No.
But it doesn't apply to us.
No, not for you. We should strictly follow Dharma. It's very interesting when some people say this is a concept that goes on. Some people say that even if you're fasting, when someone brings you maha, you can't say no, you have to eat it. But that's not true, because we see in the Chaitanya Charitamrita that Lord Chaitanya and all the devotees are fasting, and everybody brought maha prasadam to Lord Chaitanya, and Lord Chaitanya says no, and he says, it is explained that we don't eat prasadam, we honor prasadam. And you don't have to eat prasadam to honor it. You can honor prasadam by offering obeisances. So Lord Chaitanya honors the Mahaprasadam by offering obeisances, and he says, keep it, we'll have it tomorrow. So they have it the next day. So like that. So fasting means fasting. No, you can't use these stories in that way. You can. Why can't you eat Mahaprasadam on Ekadashi? Of course you can. Because it's Maha. Maha is offered to the Lord. Unless it's grains, you can't eat it. But normal Mahaprasadam, you can. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Sri Bhagavat Purana ki jai, Sri Ramachandra Bhagavan ki jai, Sri Sri Radha Gokulananda ki jai.